Before Ed and I ever started playing together, I dreamed that we were going to sing the song. Now, y'all may think that I'm kidding, but I'm not. And I told him that after we started playing together, I said, I dreamed that we sang this song, and here we are going to sing this song. And we're going to sing it. Most of the time, I sing the lead on all these songs, but this is Ed's song. Ed's going to sing the lead on this. He does a beautiful job with it. The title of the song, it's an old song entitled Peace in the Valley.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I'm
right. Thank you.
There'll be peace in the valley one day. The only peace that comes is through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him personally. And praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, please. I read the story of a pastor who had boarded a bus one morning. He paid his fare and he took his seat, and a few minutes later he realized that the driver had given him too much change. Some people might have just put the change in their pocket and said, "Lord, thank you for your provision." But this pastor knew that it would be wrong. At the next stop, he walked up to the front of the bus and with the extra change there in his hand, and he said to the driver, "Excuse me, sir. You gave me too much change, and I wanted to return it to you because obviously you made a mistake." And the driver said, "Pastor, okay, Pastor, I did not make a mistake. I was at your church last night and heard you preach on honesty. I wanted to see if you practiced what you preached." Fortunately, he did. I ask you this morning, do you practice what you preach? Parents, do you practice what you preach to your children? Never try to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." That will never work. Please understand that we need to be honest. None of us are perfect parents. None of us are perfect Christians. And you need to have that talk with your children and say, "Honey, I know I'm not perfect, but I am trying to do what I believe that God wants me to do." And if you're honestly doing that, they will see that in your life and respect it. But we are to be a good example there. We are to practice what we preach there. Would the Lord be pleased with what you practice, what you do, or would He be ashamed of the way that you behave? Our talk and our walk needs to match. This story went on to say that people are watching you as a Christian, virtually scrutinizing your every move. You should know that they aren't hoping you will be a godly witness. They are hoping you will slip up so that they will have something on which to conveniently hang their doubts and unbelief. Humorist Will Rogers said, "So live that you wouldn't mind selling your pet parrot to the town gossip." That's the idea of integrity, having nothing in our lives to be ashamed of. I had the opportunity Friday. I was supposed to be in two places at once. I was supposed to be at the VAIB meeting that goes all day there. I went Thursday night there. By the way, if you didn't get to hear Thursday or Friday night with, Tim Barton, David's son there, Wall Builders. He is an excellent speaker. What he gave Thursday night, I would love to have him scheduled right here to preach that same message to y'all. It was just wonderful. And what a blessing. But anyway, Friday I was supposed to be there. I was also scheduled to be at a conference down at Franklin, Virginia, there at Franklin Baptist Church. They were having one on securing the faithful. That's you. And it's talking about church security, dealing with the policies and so forth, and reasons why, and things, ideas of what to do and so forth. And we are working, deacons and I, on some things with that we'll be implementing and explaining to you shortly. But in this day and time, you've got to take those actions in advance. You can't wait till something happens. And so we want to do that. And anyway, I was down there with that, and one of the things that he said in the opening was, there are two assets that the church has, two great priorities that you want to protect. And the first one was quite obvious, the people. The second one, though, was the reputation of the church. And both of those need protection. Fortunately, the reputation of the church hangs on the reputation of its people. And if we are godly people and are living in a godly way, doing godly things, then we will have a good reputation not only as an individual, but as a church. And so that is the important thing that we need to understand. What kind of a character do you have? What kind of a reputation do you have? Would the Lord be pleased with your character, or would the Lord be embarrassed or ashamed of your character? In the testimony that the boy gave earlier there on the Bring Your Bible to School Day, he quoted there Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," which is the Gentile. That's the majority, if not all of us, in here today. And so it is the power of God unto salvation. It can bring salvation there. But notice it says, Paul said there, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I got to thinking about that in the testimony that he had shared there, and not being ashamed of his Lord. And I thought, you know, there's a lot to be said about what the Bible says about being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or being ashamed of the Lord, or the Lord being ashamed of us. And so I started working on this message there, and I've entitled it this morning, "I Am Not Ashamed." And I've divided it in three parts. The first one is going to be, sometimes we should be ashamed. Secondly, sometimes we should not be ashamed. And then third, sometimes we will never be ashamed. Father, I pray right now that you'd help us not only to understand the truth of your word that deals with this particular subject, but Father, you would also touch our lives and change us, Lord, into being a person of character and conviction that goes on to practice the things in which we believe in such a way that not only others would be led to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would be well pleased with our lives. Thank you, Father. Help me to be able to share clearly now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we should be ashamed there. When should we be ashamed? Well, obviously, I think it's when we are in sin. We ought to be ashamed. Here in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read here in just a moment, beginning in verse 16. But in the context here, Paul has just shared a truth there. He said in verse 12 there and following, he says, "Not that I've already apprehended." I haven't already arrived spiritually. I haven't already gotten to perfection there. And then he goes on and talks about that there are some things that he has left behind and he's pressing toward. And what he's pressing toward is that mark for the high calling of God. And that we have explained before how that it deals with God's goal for each one of us, that we ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God has called us to be in this world. None of us have attained unto that. Paul testified of that, but he said, "I am trying. I am pressing toward that goal." And that's what I said for us parents there, to have that talk with our children. We're not perfect, but we are trying. We are pressing toward the goal that God has for us, and we ought to be trying to do that. But notice what he says here then in verse 16 and following. "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained," in other words, there are some things that we have already learned and we are doing. He says, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk." Let us keep on walking. "By the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I am told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Stop right there, and let's look at a few things here. We're talking about being ashamed of some things, about being in sin, primarily, is what it's talking about there. And it says there that when we, as believers, are in sin, practicing sin, out of fellowship with the Lord there, we are considered by God enemies of the cross of Christ. We're not doing God's cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, any good. Matter of fact, we're doing it harm. We are against what God is trying to do. We're telling people out there, you know, what good does it do to put your faith in Jesus Christ? I'm just like you. You're just like me. It's not helped me any better. And that's pretty much the testimony of the person that claims to be a Christian but is living their life just like anybody else out there in the world. It brings shame to the Lord Jesus Christ there. It says, whose God is their belly? Their belly, their fleshly appetites, whatever that may be of the flesh. And all of us still have the flesh that's within us. It's a constant struggle there, whatever that struggle may be. And who mind earthly things. That's the temporary things and possessions of this world. They are the things that's a priority in these people's lives. And they go on to say there that they glory in their shame. In other words, they are glorying, they're bragging about, they seem to be okay with the fact of some things in their life that they should be embarrassed about. Have you ever met a Christian like that, or someone that claims to be a Christian? And they're talking, and I know I have. They're talking and kind of explaining about something in their life, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if I was you, I'd be embarrassed for somebody to know that's going on in my life. But they were almost like it was something to brag about. And I think, one, it may be just because they don't know, or two, most likely, they become so used to sin that they don't think anything about it. They almost think it's a good thing there. They are bragging about, they glory in their shame and the things that they should be ashamed about. I totally understand that a lost person could behave that way, but I really struggle when it's a Christian. I struggle when the person claims to be saved, and I can say claim to be saved because sometimes I wonder if that person really is saved, if they understand what God has saved them from. Take note of who these people are according to Scripture. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul wrote there to this church, and he said there in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 3, "Now we command you, brethren," he's talking to us Christians here, "brethren," he's given a command, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother," that's another Christian, or claims to be, "that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which ye have received of us." So here he is giving a command to Christians. And he says to the Christians, you look out there, and you see any other person claiming to be a Christian, or you know this even genuinely saved, and if he's walking disorderly there in an unruly way, he's not following the directions, the commands, etc. there that we have given you and the apostles were giving, and it was being recorded in Scripture, so we could say, in essence there, what the Bible says, what God says in His Word. If they're not walking that way, then note that person and remove yourself from them. Why? Look at verse 14. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that," here's the purpose coming, "that he may be ashamed." Now here's what goes on so often. There's a Christian that you may know, and you can see obviously in their life there's certain sin that's there, and they're practicing that sin, and they're continuing in that sin, and they don't seem to be wanting to turn from it. And as a believer, we sometimes would look at that and say, you know, I know they shouldn't be doing that, but maybe, you know, if I just keep on being a friend to them, maybe they'll get out of it before long. That's not what God says. God says, pull away. If they cherish your friendship, let that be a vacuum. Let that be something that they realize, hey, you take this serious in my life. And you do it for the purpose that they would be ashamed of what they're doing. Verse 15 says, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Exhort him, warn him, etc., as a brother." Why? Restoration is always the goal. So we have to withdraw and talk to them, have that hard talk and say, look, it's because of what you're into that I can no longer hang around with you. I can't be out here with you all the time. And hopefully through that, they will get things right with the Lord so that you can be restored in that fellowship of friendship as they are restored. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, here's another passage here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, to the Corinthian church, which had quite a few issues going on in them, we'll pick up reading there in verse 9, where Paul says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs to go live on the moon. That's pretty much what he's talking about. You must go out of this world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. In other words, what he's saying here, don't necessarily isolate yourself. Don't try to isolate yourself from sin, but separate yourself from sin. Not to avoid contact with them, but to avoid contamination from them. And if you don't believe it, as I've preached to you before, bad health is much more contagious than good health. And so we need to be careful about those that are living in sin, not to be contaminated with their sin there. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, in other words, they claim to be a Christian, be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. Not to associate. Not to be one that you hang out with. Verse 13 at the end, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Why? Again, so that they would be embarrassed. They would be ashamed. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We should be ashamed if we're living in sin. If you have people that you know that claim to be Christian and they're living in sin, they should be ashamed. But you've got to help do your part by removing yourself, separating yourself from them, hopefully to get them to understand the seriousness of their sin and what it's doing in that relationship so that they would draw back unto the Lord there. We should be ashamed of living for the temporary pleasures and possessions of this world, and we should be ashamed of associating closely with the people that live that way. Sometimes we should be ashamed. Secondly, sometimes we should not be ashamed. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We should not be ashamed because we're rightly dividing the word of truth. We're rightly dividing the word of truth because we're studying. We're putting forth the effort in order to do that, in order to understand that truth and to live it. So if we are studying, learning, remembering, and doing, we're walking in that truth there, God is going to be pleased. God is going to be happy with us. He is not going to be embarrassed about us being His child, if that is the case. We have no need to be ashamed. Again, as the boy said there in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation there. Not only should we not be ashamed because we are rightly understanding God's wording and doing it, but we ought not to be ashamed when we are giving out the Word of God, when we are sharing that gospel of Jesus Christ. It's how we got saved. It's the only way anybody can get saved. We ought not to be embarrassed about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought not to be embarrassed to speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and witnessing, some people are embarrassed. Now, some people are fearful. I want to tell you, there is a difference. The difference is a fearful person will say, I don't care if others know that I'm a Christian, but when I think about talking to them about the gospel there, I just get so nervous and fearful, I just can't do it. That's the fearful. The ashamed, if I open my mouth or live differently, my peers are going to think that I'm strange. Whether your peers are in school or whether your peers are at work, etc. If I open my mouth, if they find out I'm a Christian and I live differently, they're going to think I'm strange. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to blend in. I'm not going to rock the boat. That's being ashamed. Now, which is the bad one? It's a trick question, isn't it? Both of them are bad. Now, if there was one worse, I would say the ashamed one. But both of them are bad. Notice the fearful one, what God speaks about it there. Remember Moses when he was commanded to go and back to Pharaoh and so forth, and he kept giving excuses. I can't talk, and I don't know what to say. And God said, who made your mouth? He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you what to say, etc. there. I'm going to help you to do what I've commanded you to do. Does God not do the same thing for us today? 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God wants you to do something, the principle there is that if he's called you to do it, he is going to help you to implement that in your life. But the ashamed part there, understand this, in Luke 9:26, Jesus said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. In other words, Jesus said, if you're going to be ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Wow. When you think about going to heaven, the greatest thing that should ever cross our mind about heaven is not the streets of gold, not a mansion that's built there for us, not all of the other saints and so forth that have gone on before us. But the greatest thing should be to see our Savior's face and to glory in Him. Have you ever, young people, or that's older people that used to be young people, was there ever a time when you disobeyed your parent? You knew that you had disobeyed them, and you knew that they knew it, and you really looked forward to seeing them at supper. Can you imagine what that would be like in your heart to know that my Savior's embarrassed? He's ashamed of me, and I'm going there to meet him. The greatest joy of heaven interrupted because of our temporary choices that we want to make here. Similar in some ways to our children. My children and your children, we love unconditionally. They will always be our children. But you know, sometimes our children do not always make the right decisions. Sometimes the choices that they make, we're not pleased with at all. There's a difference between them being accepted by us and them being acceptable in our sight. They are still our children and they are accepted, but they're not acceptable at that moment, you see. And so it is with us, with the Lord. We sometimes are not acceptable in His sight. We're not pleasing in His sight. Or we're accepted. We're still in Christ. We're still His child. But the moment there, we're not pleased. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, when he said there to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in verse 8 there. In verse 9, he says, wherefore, for this reason, he says, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted in Him. Now there the word accepted means pleasing or acceptable. So he says, whether I'm taken out of this body at the rapture and I meet the Lord, or whether I stay here to live for a while and serve Him, I want to be acceptable in His sight either place. And that's what our goal ought to be. We ought to be seeking to be acceptable so that the Lord is not ashamed of us. We should not be ashamed of Him, nor of His Word. And then last, I want you to see that sometimes we will never be ashamed. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Let me stop right there in that verse. Who is that testifying of, prophesying of? The Lord Jesus Christ is who it's prophesying of there. It goes on to say, he that believeth shall not make haste. You know, that's why Jewish men don't run. No, that's not. It's not what that verse is saying there. But the idea here is that you will not make it, you will not run and hide in shame because you put your belief in this stone, this rock, this cornerstone that's prophesied of. We have it said again in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, as it is written, all right, looking back to Isaiah 28, 16, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him, remember it said not make haste, not run away and hide in shame. So, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Here's the idea. Again, you won't be embarrassed that you put your faith in Him and because He didn't come through. Because He will always come through. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can mark it down in ink and so forth. It is going to happen exactly the way that He says it. If you put your faith in Him for salvation, there's going to be a day in which you will die. And after that, you will be in the presence of the Lord. That is the fact of the matter. You will not be disappointed. You will not be any way left behind if you have placed your genuine trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will not be sorry that you put your faith in Christ. And then a few verses later there in chapter 10, verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You know, that verse has been taken many times and preached on, that as believers, we ought not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while that's true, that's not what that verse is talking about. Whosoever believeth on Him will not be disappointed, will not be ashamed that they place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as believers, we shouldn't be ashamed, as we've talked about. Psalm 107 and verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are to speak up and we're to own our relationship with Him and what He is to us. But if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be disappointed that we have believed. His salvation eliminates our sin's penalty, and it generates new life within the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He does. Sometimes we'll never be ashamed. We'll never be disappointed. A beautiful young mother in New York City returned to the building in which her little infant lay asleep and was appalled to see that the building was in flames. The firemen could not restrain her, and she dashed through the flames and rescued her child. But in doing so, she was so severely burned that her face was horribly disfigured for life. When she looked at her face in the mirror after it was healed, she was shocked at the disfigurement, but was comforted by the thought that when her little girl grew up, she would appreciate the sacrifice that her mother had made to rescue her. the little child grew up to be a young woman of uncommon beauty. One day there was an excursion up the river, and both mother and daughter went. The beautiful daughter was on the front deck, surrounded by a host of admirers, laughing and talking. The disfigured mother was on the rear deck, looking after the wraps and other things. The mother had occasion to go to the front deck to speak with her daughter. As she drew near, a young man asked the beautiful young girl, "Who is that hideous-looking woman?" In a low tone, the beautiful daughter said, "I don't know." But the words were not so low but what the mother caught them, and that loving heart was broken by the gross ingratitude of the daughter for whom she had sacrificed so much. You know, the little article went on to say this: how we shudder at the thought of such awful ingratitude. But are we not guilty of a grosser ingratitude towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? His vestige was more marred than any man's, and his form more than the souls of men. And yet how many today are ashamed of him and won't admit that they know him? We should not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so much for us and continues to do so much for us. We shouldn't be ashamed of his message of salvation. We shouldn't be ashamed to share it. We shouldn't be ashamed of studying his word and learning it in order to obey God's truth and to live the right way. However, we should be ashamed of living for temporary pleasures and the possessions of this world. We should be ashamed to associate with those that only live for that. You know, it's been said, "Show me who you hang with, and I'll show you where you're headed." We ought to be careful who we call friend. We need to closely associate with those that are godly, that are going in the right direction. Christian, what are you ashamed of? Your sin or your Savior? For those that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises that if you right now would genuinely trust what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary, He will save you from the penalty of your sin and give you a home with Him in heaven. You will not be disappointed that you put your trust in Him. Will you trust Him right now? Every head bow, please. You've heard the message. I pray that you've listened well enough and evaluated in your life to answer the question, are you ashamed of the right things? Is there any sin right now that you know that's going on in your life that the Savior is ashamed of you for? Has there been the situation where, whether at work or at school, that you are embarrassed for people to know that you are a Christian? That you would be embarrassed for them to see a Bible on your desk? At work or at school? Does the Lord know your character, your faithfulness? Is there something that you need to give to Him? Let Him deal with your heart this morning. Don't put it off, but right now, let's be the Christians that Jesus Christ would be pleased with. Father, I pray that you would help us to honestly deal with our own heart. that we would admit it to you and confess it, that we do not want to be that way anymore, but through your help that we would change, that we would have a testimony, that others would know where we stand. And Lord, I pray that as they do, that they would seek to know the God that we know. And for any here, Lord, that has not that confidence, I pray that they would make that choice today. In Jesus' name, amen.
305.
305 is the hymn in which we're going to close with.